Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Fred, and welcome to the podcast, True Voice with Dr. Fred. Today, I'm without my colleague, my frequent colleague, Sam. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you tonight. We're going to do about a half an hour because we only have half of our hosts here. I'd be glad to speak with any of the audience. It's 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. Today, I'm going to speak about the impact of electronics and AI on our present day world. You know, I've noticed recently, like yesterday, when I was trying to set up a webinar, that there's so many moving pieces. And at one point, my team checked a box which made the whole webinar not registerable. Like, you know, authenticated customers only. He set that box up, hoping that that meant that when the Zoom call came, only registered customers would be allowed in. But what that ended up doing was creating a wall so that people who were not previously authenticated couldn't even register into the Zoom link having anything to do with a webinar. So as I speak this language, I realize I'm speaking an entirely new vocabulary that's already essentially obsolete with the new run of artificial intelligence coming around the pike. And we worry ourselves so much about being electronically sound, about having a way with our computer so that, you know, we are scheduling properly, so that we're posting properly, so that we're using proper hashtags and emojis, so that we're using proper vocabulary. When we start speaking about standard operating procedures or key performance indicators, we also have to start thinking about return on investment and calls to action, all these three-letter monikers that are really important when we're electronically embedded in our world. And I have to say that throughout most of my life, I've been able to keep up fairly well with the technological aspects of the world. But I find myself getting dragged down by this, I think just like most of us do, you know. And, you know, now that with ChatGPT and Bard and, you know, Midjourney and all these different companies that are coming out of here with, you know, artificial intelligence, AI tools and gifts and challenges, we are left to choose whether or not to stay on board at a very high, rapid pace as these things come at us, in order just to stay at zero, or in some cases to succeed in a world where the electronic industry is going through a paradigmatic shift like it's never gone through before. So I read yesterday that someone thought that attorneys will be obsolete in the next 2 to 3 years based on what AI has to offer, that there'll be no real reason to have attorneys because citing previous law texts will be easily done by artificial intelligence. And I'm sure that's true with many other jobs that are just become obsolete in the face of much better resources available without having to pay a high price for their existence, you know, through wages or through sick time or through even dealing with their humanity and their flaws. Like, you don't have to do that when you're dealing with AI as an employee. there's a concern about dystopia and a concern about, you know, how this whole thing is going to unfold. And we've had these concerns at various different inflection points in our evolution. You know, we talk about, like, there's massive inflection points where what we used to believe changes over several years to what we now believe. What we used to count on to be our truth and our reality goes through massive transformation over several years. And we just, when we're looking back at it, we sort of call it eras. Like, what was the world like when Indians, when American Indians, the indigenous population was, you know, was the reality of this country, for instance? It was quite a bit different. And what was thought to be so, and how things formed, and how, what the purposes of life and how to be with each other, was entirely different than what we then experienced in the next evolution, which was essentially driven by the white Europeans who came here from the, you know, came here as explorers. I start getting fairly naive when I look at these historical changes. And it's very easy for me to start feeling naive at any given moment, that I really don't have a grasp on what's coming down the pike, and that I will, you know, somehow get swamped up by the pace of what's happening, because I just can't keep up the energy and I can't keep up the motivation to continue to learn as fast as I need to learn, just in order to stay up with the coming trend. So what does that mean if I can't do that? I'm not sure what it means. It means that I'm watching some people who are doing that, who are finding it within themselves to learn everything they can and then deliver effectively into the world using artificial intelligence rules and regulations. And I suppose that I've found a way in all previous challenges, and for some reason I can lean on that as my likelihood to be able to find my way through the next challenges. But I already know that in many cases, you know, past performance does not guarantee future results. So it's not clear to me that, you know, what I do is somehow proofed, you know, somehow protected against the impact of artificial intelligence, the nefarious side or the difficult side or the human replacing side. It's also not clear that I don't have at least the capacity to have access to the positive aspects of artificial intelligence as they come in, and the positive aspects of electronic evolution as it comes in, and how fast can I learn, and how fast can it be presented to me so that I have a learning curve that's in cahoots with what's happening. You know, it's like as soon as I lose a little bit of energy, if I start losing how to use, for instance, a CRM, you know, some people are really, really adept at these CRMs. And I think it's a customer relationship manager or something. I'm not even sure what that stands for. And the idea is that I'm only marginally capable and interested in CRMs, and they seem to be pretty central, or how to use a Miro board, you know, a sort of electronic whiteboard, how to use that effectively, or how to run groups with more than 10 or more than 100 people and have that be effective. Or even how to attend those groups, because I'm not really frequently called to attend those groups as a participant. So there's this shattering and this disintegration of the people who know and the people who don't know and the people who have and the people who don't have. And it's kind of disturbing because, you know, I like to consider us a brotherhood of humanity, but it's difficult if we're going in such different directions simultaneously. And the onus is on each one of us personally to go out and get what we think is important and to bring that home and utilize it effectively. So what does that entail? Well, it entails merging our humanity with the future of this technological tsunami. And it's possible, you know, when I look up the word cyborg, I think that a cyborg, I'm looking it up now, I think the definition of a cyborg is an organism, often a human, that has certain physiological processes enhanced or controlled by mechanical or electronic devices, especially when they are integrated with the nervous system, or a person who is a part machine, a robot who is part organic, or a robot who has an organic past. So I think it's already like in the books that almost all of us are already cyborgs. Anyone who's needing to wear a series of headphones and microphones and stare at a flat screen and call that connection is by definition has been washed into the notion of what a cyborg is. I'm wearing contact lenses and I'm wearing hearing aids and I'm wearing headphones and a microphone and I'm staring down a multi-million pixelated flat screen and pretending to speak into it to thousands of people who are doing some version of a complementary same, and we're calling that a human connection. That is not really a human connection. That is much more likely to be a cyborgian connection if we really look at the definition of what cyborg is. There's no way I can reach out and touch you. There's no way that I can, you know, even like smell you or feel you. Almost all my senses are interrupted. Theoretically, I could see you, but I'm not really even seeing you. I'm seeing a pixelated representation of you as shown by your camera and then translated into an output and then sent miles, if not thousands or even tens of thousands of miles away to my computer or my, you know, via a bunch of nodes in the sky and satellites jumping from one to another and then calling that a representation of you. Now, we all know that as we use it, this is not news, but there's a significant missing in the idea that we're not human to human in our own physical capacity. I'd love to hear what any of you have to say about this. So I'm going to open the phone lines again, 1-888-627-6008, if you have anything to say. You start getting that, you know, even there's a sense of loneliness that sets in, even if I'm on Zoom meeting a bunch of people during a day. If I'm podcasting as a guest, if I'm podcasting as a host, if I'm leading a webinar, if I'm meeting with a group, all those things that are supposed to be group activities are really all sort of, they're all fanned into being the same thing, which is an electronic-based experience that I have to do the sorting over. I have to look at like nine different rectangles and realize that so I'm in a so-called group, even though I'm staring at the exact same screen that moments ago had me in a podcast as a guest or a host. So there's a lot of translation here, and it's really clear that we did not come out of the womb with the capacity to learn how to do this. This is all learned information based on verbal communication and technological advancement or evolutions or revolutions, as you call them. So where do we find peace in this whole thing? And I think peace is an inside job. I mean, that's really where we have to get it from. We have to get it from inside, because trying to find peace by, you know, being satisfied with our human relations becomes further and further possible. This is further complicated by the idea that, you know, with the recent lockdown that has somehow now faded as being sort of yesterday's news, we had to stand at least 6 feet from each other and be afraid of each other whenever we saw each other. And we couldn't even really see each other because we were all covered in masks. So because of that, we got further and further apart even when we were physical. And now we can spend a whole day indoors, even if it's beautiful outside, justifying it by saying that we're doing the work that we need in order to survive. And usually that's computer work. There's something thoroughly absurd about the whole idea as we step forward. And it makes me sad to even talk about it as way I am. Now, at the same time, the technology has offered us ways where we don't have to be sad about anything. We start realizing that being sad is a choice, and I can embrace even uncomfortable experiences as being part of the human experience, even if they're sort of technologically removed from the core human experience of what I grew up thinking was human. Now, what I grew up thinking of human is entirely different than what the indigenous population of the United States or the Aborigines or other, groups with entire different culture definitions and taboos might have thought is reality. So it's nothing new that we're splintering. This level of splintering has occurred with several cultures in the past. The next thing that appears to be happening is this idea that our entire economy is thoroughly threatened. The idea that the dollar as a gold standard has a half-life now and is unlikely to remain that way for very much longer, as it's unsustainable. This I've heard from some experts, and the idea of, so-called inflation or deflation or, bear market or bull market or those kinds of things, even though it's been predictable in the past, it just seems like we're about to go through an explosive time where all of those things sort of become obsolete. How are we to proceed is a really important question here. What is it that we can do that makes any sense that actually pulls us together, either as individuals or as, cross-cultural humanity? And this is a really important question that we all get to ask. Now, I've been told that this podcast is actually reaching outside of the United States. And again, I'm eager to speak to anybody who's listening about the topic as it's arisen. The phone number, if you'd like to call me, is 1-888-627-6008. And it would be an honor to speak with any of you. One of the things that's happened to me, some of you know, a few months ago, is I had a pretty significant medical challenge where the pathway out of my heart ripped open, a thing called the aorta. It ripped open and I was bleeding into my chest and needed to have emergency surgery. So they went in and they cut a line right through the middle of my chest, the sternum, and then moved my arm and my sternum out of the way. And went in and fixed the pathway by adding a Dacron patch in a couple spaces and then using part of what was still left of my good aorta when they could, and then fixing the valve that was malfunctioning at leaving the heart, the bicuspid valve that theoretically should have been a tricuspid valve. All of that got done, and now I've been living a life since, recovering, maybe in a little less pain each and every day, a little bit greater capacity to breathe, but really noticing that I'm a full human being and I have plenty to say and do and plenty to offer and contribute. But I am and I remain a bit stymied by the changes in the world and how to stay abreast of them and how to stay focused and how to stay motivated to continue to deliver very high-powered contributions. Part of me wants to just sit on the couch, and I think we all have that. I don't like to watch TV, so I don't watch Netflix or anything like that, like some people do. And I don't even have a TV, so I don't watch sports or anything like that. I tend to spend my time, if I'm just doing nothing, scrolling through mindless Facebook or sometimes slightly less mindless LinkedIn. But overall, it's just it's a cluster out here, isn't it? It's a real cluster. It's confusing even when it's quiet. It's loud even when it's quiet. So it can be quiet in the local environs. Then you read about the news and there's been, some sort of violence over there or some sort of unacceptable human behavior over there. And it's not so quiet in many places in the world right now. There's something about being afraid of death that's important. And Sam and I have talked about this in previous podcasts. But the idea is that when I'm less afraid of death, then I get to live life at a much fuller degree. When I can step forth without being so afraid that it holds me back, or without being so resigned that it holds me back, then I have an opportunity of actually making a difference from inside because I say I want to and no other reason. And I suggest that that's available for you, my listeners, as well. We're going to come to a close here in a few minutes. And in the meantime, I just want to thank you for being listeners. And those of you who are on regular shows who tune in every Tuesday, I really want to appreciate you. I'm not sure how long this podcast is going to continue. We haven't translated this into very much traffic, if you will. I haven't had a lot of you reach out to me and or to Sam, and we've never had a translation that has resulted in even a conversation, let alone a conversion of any of our services. And even a good conversation would go a long ways to making that continue. So if that's interesting to you, I invite you to give us a call either now at 1-888-627-6008 or if you'd like to write me at drfred@welcometohumanity.net, that would be welcome. Sam and I will probably be back next week, though we are considering possibly tapering off this particular podcast as we're not certain how many listeners it's actually landing on and how big the impact is making. So whether or not it's somehow worth our time and effort is what the question is. For those of you who feel like it is worth our time and effort and want me to continue, I invite you to contact me and let me know that or comment in the comment section to let our team know that so that I can be aware that we are making the impact it is designed to do. Until then, I'm going to sign off now until next week. It's been a pleasure. This is Dr. Fred from True Voice with Dr. Fred. The best way to get a hold of me is drfred@welcometohumanity.net. I have a new way to get a hold of me. It's called drfred360.com. That's another way to get full access to my brand and to everything I'm up to. And I look forward to being on here next week. Thank you so much. We'll catch you on the flip side. Bye for now. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?